97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
No one. Well, if you missed the breaking news this morning, Donald Trump has been named Person of the Year. And they tweeted that out earlier. And just as he gets to go up and open up and ring the bell on Wall Street today, that news came out. I'm not sure there was really another choice. Maybe Elon Musk. I don't know. But Donald Trump once again shaking up the establishment in Washington, D.C. And one of the people that will be helping him do that is Ed Martin, St. Louisan, longtime activist here, Tea Party member, all that great stuff, Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles. And we've got him on the phone this morning. Ed, good morning to you.
Hey, Mark, great to be with you. Friend of Mark Cox, too. Friend of Mark Cox. Don't forget, long before either of us were doing much, and we've been friends. So I appreciate you and your great listeners. So glad to be with you. Yeah. Look, it's great. It's a great time. It's a great time to be thinking about the future of America in so many ways. And I'm excited to be a part of President Trump's administration.
So you'll be chief of staff for the Office of Management and Budget. And if there's any organization that incoming that should be able to hit the ground running, I would think it would be that one, because Russ Vogt, who'll be the head of it, ran it before, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Two things, Mark, two observations. One, OMB, for people that don't know, unfortunately, our federal government has gotten so darn big and has so much money and power that as it's grown, you have to have sort of an operations center, you know, and that's OMB. It runs the budget, it runs personnel, it runs the implementation of the budget, which is to say all the spending. So it's kind of like in the old days, Mark, you'll know the term, you and I are old enough, they called it a boiler room. It's where kind of that all the action was. It got ops center for the kids that are playing video games and need to think of it that way. But the second thing you point out is at the end of Trump's first term, there was a guy named Russ Vogt, who had spent a decade in the conservative trenches of the Congress as a staff guy, and he became the director of OMB. He has a great rapport with President Trump. When they did the budget in the last 2 years of that term, they used to huddle together, the two of them, and the president would have these questions and priorities, and they worked together great. Russ has had 4 years in the wilderness, like Donald Trump, to think about what it's like to come back in and get ready. And my goodness, the guy's ready, and President Trump is ready. And look, all that would be the most amazing thing ever, Mark. And to be a part of that, I'm thrilled. And now add on this. Elon Musk and Vivek, when they started to look at how they could actually make change, not just talk, they realized there was only one place, and that was OMB, Office of Management and Budget, where I'm working. And they said, so I'm meeting today with one of the senior Elon guys about some of their priorities, because those guys are like, hey, we can either pass legislation, as Mark, as you and your listeners know, that often takes forever and gets watered down and screwed up and all, and they probably do some of that, but those reforms are going to say, hey, if we want to cut regulation, OMB does that. If we want to cut budgets, OMB holds budgets. It's called impoundment, and on and on and on. So it's an exciting place to be right now, and it's going to be great, fun, and good for the country.
That was kind of my question, because as part of DOGE, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk they don't have any power other than to, you know, go to members of Congress, or you in this case, to say, hey, this is what I think we need to be cutting. So you would probably be working very closely with them, right?
Yeah, and let me say it more this way. President Trump has laid out, and both Russ Vogt and I were on the platform committee in the fall, at the convention, and the president himself, I'm looking at the platform right now, he wrote the thing. We drafted it, we got lots of input, but especially as to what's the 20 promises at the beginning, he wrote them. I mean, he was on the phone writing them. And here's my point. He won the election. And he has said to us, I want DOGE to succeed. I want America to succeed. So when I agree with you, DOGE doesn't practically have any power, but it has the power of this president saying, I want them to succeed. And here's what I tell people. If you give me Elon Musk's PR slash political cover, is how I think of it, I could take on the world, because most of the time you go and try to take on something in government and there's all kinds of I can think of one office, a small office in the White House that has a constituency that includes about five senators and one of the major, major American companies. So when you say cut that there, if you don't have Elon Doge cover, flying cover over us saying, why do we spend $5 million a year for an office that does nothing? And now he's our cover. And he's willing to do that, right? So he's interested. Now, also, he's going to do some systematic things and really look at some regulatory burdens and other things. And then we, OMB, have the ability. We do all the regulations and therefore deregulation. So you can't pass a reg and you can't dereg without going through OMB. And so I can tell you, we're deregging and we're going to find lots of ways to do it. And that's, look, Vivek and Elon are so successful because they're smart and not just loud smart. They're smart, clever. They figured out within about 2 weeks, OMB was where they could get the bang for the buck. Yeah. And so I'm going over today to Elon's number two. We're working hand in glove on coming up with things that can make the government more efficient and make the country better.
That's great. We're talking to Ed Martin. He's going to be the new chief of staff at the Office of Management and Budget. And, you know, Ed, I'm thinking back to 2016. And one thing I remember specifically was that rally Donald Trump had here in St. Louis over here at the Kiel. And on stage, I mean, who walked out as part of the introduction for Donald Trump but the grand lady, Phyllis Schlafly. I know you were there with her that day.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump remembers that. And when you think of what he's gone through since then up until now, I mean, what a great American story.
Yeah, you know, Phyllis, that was the first time she met him in person. They had talked on the phone three or four times before, but that was the first time in the back of the Kiel Opera House, as you mentioned, downtown St. Louis. They met in a little side room. It was the three of us, actually, and it was extraordinary. But the funniest line on that is, as we were getting ready to go out on the stage, we were walking together, and Phyllis was, you know, only 6 months from her death, and she was pretty frail. And President Trump was on the right of her, and I was on the left, and we were walking together, and she was holding on to both of us, our arms. And I said, because we were going to go out on the stage and he was going to be exposed to the way the stage was open and he wasn't going to come out. He was going to come out later. I said, do you want to switch sides, sir? And he said with a big smile, no, I'll stay on Phyllis's right. And Phyllis looked up at him and laughed. And she said something like, you wish, or something like that. And so, look, she believed in him as a candidate. I wrote about this yesterday. But then people thought, oh, she said he can win. You got to win first. But she also knew something after 92 years about the quality of people. And she thought he loves this country. She used to say that. She said he just loves America so much. He's going to do what it takes. And on major issues, he knew, you know, she believed that he was right on immigration, on trade and things that were big. But she just knew, like her, they just loved the country, and it was great. It was great, great to see them together. And by the way, another thing, quick thing, Mark, at the convention in Cleveland, he gave a speech, and Phyllis was in a wheelchair by then, sat in one of the rows, and you know the place is big, but it's not that big. But she's one of the only people on the floor in a wheelchair, and Donald Trump looked right at her during one of the parts of the speech, eye to eye, looking at her from the stage as he spoke. And when I got back, I said, was he looking at you? And she said, oh, yeah, he was looking right at me. And they had this. So he, as you mentioned, every time I see him, he brings up Phyllis. He says, wow. And he says to people around him, Phyllis believed in me early. Phyllis believed in me early.
We miss her voice so much, Ed. I can't, the number of times I had her on my show, I treasure those. I replay them from time to time. Moving forward here, when you look at the totality of the people Donald Trump has tapped to lead this administration, first of all, it's amazing he's put together this team this quickly, but you really get the impression that on day one, they're ready to start enacting some serious change. Can you expect that?
Yeah, look, I mean, I can tell you that there's, I don't think it's a secret. I don't know if it's been talked about, but I think every administration likely did that. There's a team that's talking about day one. I mean, there's a team of senior staffers who are planning day one and the first week and all. But I think it's something else too. By having this 4-year break, which nobody wanted and didn't think was, you know, was right, we've had a chance to think about and see what has to be done. So there is a great sense. Also, there's a sense of urgency. I mean, the president has said to us, he's not running for reelection. There's nothing in the future. He wants to just do what's best and what's right and do it. But there's also a sense of urgency that we know we're going to be facing opposition from the media, opposition from the left, sometimes opposition from our own party. So we've got a sense of urgency about it. But yeah, no, look, you're going to see, I mean, already the guy is sort of leading the world, and we haven't even gotten inside the Oval Office. So look, what I tell my team as we're preparing is you can wait around, Mark, you know this from professionally, you can wait around and try to hit a grand slam on the bottom of the ninth, but that takes a long time to get there. Hit a single today.
Yeah.
Right? Hit a single today. Hit a single today. Hit two singles today. Maybe a double tomorrow, but just keep hitting singles and let's put some things on the board. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. Bobby Kennedy's got a team that's thinking the same way. You know, we're gonna see some things that I think are gonna give people a lot of confidence that America is, you know, headed in the right direction. And we'll make some mistakes, but we're gonna be trying really hard to make things better. And I think we will.
Can't wait, Ed Martin. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you, Mark. You're a good friend to me and good encouragement. So thanks. And anytime I can come on and help, I love what you're doing and support you and your program.
We'll do it again soon, Ed. Thank you.
All right, Mark. God bless.
Take care of yourself. Merry Christmas to you. We appreciate getting him on here this morning, and lots of enthusiasm, and clearly that could be ground central for Doge.
Oh, yeah.
As he's describing it there. I heard nobody mention that before, so I think that's great, and little insight you may not get somewhere else. Good for him.
Get more at 971talk.com.